happy today. I'm happy for this opportunity that I have to be with you all worshiping our God. I'm happy to be in a building full of people who love the Lord our God. I'm happy to have a God who loves us so much. I'm happy because before services I was able to get a hug and a kiss on the cheek from Miss Betty, telling me that she knew I was going to do a good job. I'm happy because, Lord willing, at the end of this service, I'm going to receive another hug and a kiss on the cheek, and she's going to tell me, hopefully, what I can do to improve, and then hopefully a few good things also. I'm happy. Yesterday, Laura, my wife and I got to spend a whole day together at Kings Island, and that made me happy. Both the joy of the rides, but also and especially spending the entire day with her. I was a very happy person, and I am right now. But my joy, much like those roller coasters we rode yesterday, or my happiness, excuse me, is circumstantial. My happiness goes up and it goes down. My happiness is based off of what is going on in my life at that moment. Yesterday, while we were standing in line, we saw little boys punching on each other. That didn't make me happy. Where's their parents? Why aren't they teaching them that this isn't okay? They were bothering everyone around them in the line. When we left, I was unhappy. People were rude. I saw some of the way people were dressing. That made me unhappy. When people say things that are mean, they say things that are hurtful, they say things that are blasphemous, they use curse words, they talk against God, that does not make me happy. Just like those roller coasters, I can be riding a high, and the next thing I know, I'm flying 215 feet down at 80 miles per hour. Sometimes my happiness takes a long time to get up there. Sometimes I shoot up, but it can go right back down. My happiness is not something that I always have. But just as I talk about that, today I am joyful. Yesterday I was joyful. Tomorrow, if I am on this earth, I am going to be joyful. Every day I have the opportunity to wake up and be joyful. And as long as I'm on this earth, that's how I'm going to be. That is not circumstantial. It doesn't matter what the people are doing around me. It doesn't matter what type of life circumstance happens to me, the trials, the temptations, the pain that I go through, any kind of tribulation, I'm still going to be joyful. I may not be happy, and I probably won't be happy, and all these things happen to me. When I have my feelings hurt, when I become upset, obviously I'm not going to be happy, but in those times, I can still be joyful. And today I'm going to tell you why I'm joyful. If you look back at 1 Peter, the first chapter, if you guys have a marker in your Bible or a piece of paper or something, I highly recommend you stick something in there, because we're going to be going back and forth to 1 Peter, the first chapter, quite a bit this evening. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 8 and 9, which is our reading, it says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And now I want to do the rest of this evening is tell you why I'm so joyful. And I'm going to use this section of scripture that precede verses 8 and 9 to tell you why we can all be joyful. And why throughout this life, no matter what our trials, no matter what our temptations, no matter what our circumstances are, we can and should have joy. So let's jump into it right now. And the first thing I want to say is I'm joyful because Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Look at me in 1 Peter, the first chapter, starting in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord of Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Continuing in verse 4, it says, "To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you now rejoice, though you've now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8 that we've already read, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Verse 9 says, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So as I said, our very first reason that I am joyful right now is because Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Verse 3 again says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it starts in verse 1. It says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are now are being saved. So, verse 1 again says, now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless believed in vain. Verse 3, if you look at the words, it says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance to Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and to the 12. And in verse 6 through 11, He talks about all the people He appeared to. Paul talks about how he is unworthy of being an apostle because he persecuted Christ. But let's pick up back in verse 12. It says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ for whom He did not raise. If that is true, I'm sorry, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Verse 17 says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That word we talked about in Bible class this morning means useless. It's useless. Your faith is useless and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. I am so thankful that Christ has been raised from the dead because in that I have a hope. Because He is raised from the dead, that my faith is not in vain. That my teachings are not wrong. I'm not misrepresenting God. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, I have a hope. My faith is not useless. It means something. And that my hope, my joy goes beyond this life only. And beyond that, if you look in Romans the 8th chapter starting in verse 28. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And that those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those who He justified, He also glorified. Verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised and who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. I have a joy because Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and for me. That the God who knows my every thought, who knows my every desires, who knows the things that I need before I even need them, is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for me. And that brings me so much joy to know that He's there. That when I'm hurting, that when I'm sad, that when things aren't going my way, and I have no idea what I need, Jesus does. And because he's been resurrected from the dead, and because he's now at the right hand of God, I have joy. And I have a hope that I can, and I have a hope beyond just this life. I have that Christ who knows all my thoughts and needs, even when I don't. And because his death, and then also his resurrections, gives me a living hope. Let's look at Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans, the fifth chapter. We're also going to spend a lot of time in Romans this evening. Romans, the fifth chapter, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access to faith and to grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And we can read all the way through verse 11. It talks about when, while we were still weak, while we were still sinners, because of God's love for us, he sent his son to die. A perfect son died for us. And now he has been resurrected and he intercedes for me. And he gives me a hope. And that brings me joy. So that's our first reason this evening. The reason I'm joyful is because Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The second reason, if you look back in 1 Peter, the first chapter with me, is because I have a guarded inheritance. I have a guarded inheritance. 1 Peter, the first chapter, starting in verse 4, it says, we'll read verse 3 again. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And what is that hope? Verse 4, "To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you," verse 5, "who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I'm joyful because I have hope in a guarded inheritance. Let's go back to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll continue the reading where we stopped. Romans, the 8th chapter, we'll continue the reading where we stopped. We just got done in verse 34 talking about Jesus being the interceder for us. He's at the right hand of God, indeed interceding for us. Verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Verse 37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I am joyful because I have a guarded inheritance, and there is nothing, nothing, unless I choose for it to, that can separate me from God, that can separate me from his love. Because my inheritance is guarded by a great and fantastic God, and there's nothing strong enough to pull me away from his love other than the choices that I make. How powerful is God? How powerful is God? The God that is guarding my inheritance created this world. The God that is guarding my inheritance made you and me. The God that's guarding my inheritance sent a flood that basically destroyed everything except for who he had saved. The God of my inheritance makes and keeps all promises. The God who guards my inheritance came in the form of man and conquered sin and death. This is the God that's guarding my salvation. This is the God that's guarding my inheritance. This is the God and all the power that he has, who has a home stored for me, and he's guarding it. And for that I am joyful. That I know as long as I am in Christ Jesus, as long as I am living in him, that there is nothing that can separate me from God. We can be more than conquerors, as it says in verse 37, through him who loved us, and nothing, nothing can separate us from God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am joyful because I have a guarded inheritance. I am joyful because Jesus was resurrected from the dead and he intercedes for me. And third, this evening, I am very joyful because I have a tested faith. I have a tested faith. And you know what's really weird throughout the Bible? We read quite a few times about people with these tested faith. Look at Romans, the fifth chapter with me. Romans, the fifth chapter, we stopped in verse 3. We're talking about having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have obtained access to faith. Verse 3 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. What? Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I'm joyful because these sufferings produce endurance. And this endurance that brings a character, and with a good character, with the character of making it through all these sufferings, it can produce a hope for me. A hope of eternal life in heaven. A hope to stop those sufferings. Look at Luke, the 6th chapter and 23. Luke, the 6th chapter and verse 23. Another verse where it doesn't make sense for us to feel this way. It says, verse 22, it says, blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy. For behold, your reward is greater in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. Blessed are those when they hate you. When they exclude you, I can guess that everyone in this building has been excluded from something because of your faith. Maybe everyone's going out for the weekend. Everyone wants to go watch a football game. It's a bunch of coworkers, but they know, you know what, they don't drink, they don't do this, we're not going to invite them. And you can think of any example. I gave one. Any example that maybe you weren't invited to something, you weren't included in something, maybe you were excluded from your friends group because of your faith. Maybe hated because of your faith. Leap for joy in those times is what we're told. And that just seems so weird to us, and it feels weird to me to even say it. I'm standing up before you to tell, be happy when someone hates you. But that's the command that we have from God. Because in that, we have a hope of heaven. That if we can endure for just a little while, we have a friend in Jesus who will always include us. And will who include us in heaven. Let's look at 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in verse 12 and 13. It says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised when this comes, but rejoice, insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you can suffer in this earth, then you are going to be glorified in heaven. That we have something to look forward to. So even though I possess nothing, even though that I'm lost, even though that I have all this pain, this suffering in this earth, I have everything because I have a hope. I have everything because I have Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 18 says the suffering of this current time is nothing to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. So I am joyful because I have a tested faith. I am joyful because I've been excluded. I'm joyful because some people might hate me for my faith. I can leap for joy because I can have heaven. Because of my tested faith that is more precious. That is more precious than gold. I can have a hope. I can have heaven. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ. I am joyful because Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Because He is standing there as my intercessor. Because He's giving me hope. I am joyful because I have a guarded inheritance. An inheritance that's undefiled. That's not going to perish. That is guarded by God. If you look at Revelation, the 7th chapter, verses 9 and 10, it just gives us a small glimpse of what we have to look forward to. Revelation, the 7th chapter, verses 9 and 10. It says, after this I look and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm and branch in their hands, and crying out to the Lord, crying out the loud voice, salvation belongs to our God and sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessed be the glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen. Verse 13 says, then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? And I said, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I have a hope that can be, that is undefiled. I have a heaven that I can look forward to. Verse 15 says, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor the scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's that inheritance that I have to look forward to. And that's why I'm joyful. Because Jesus resurrected from the dead, because I have that to look forward to, and I have God, the creator of this earth, the savior of my soul, guarding that salvation. I'm joyful because my faith has been tested. And I cannot express to you just how joyful I am. Just as Peter said in 1 Peter, the first chapter, it is an inexpressible joy. An inexpressible joy. You know, I think about that in two ways. That it's, I'm so joyful, I can't put into words how joyful I am. I would spend 20 minutes up here trying to tell you how happy I am about the hope, about not having to be in this world anymore, about how that hope of heaven that we have, and I still would not be able to explain it to you all. But also, I think you can look at that as, it makes no sense to be as joyful as I am to the world. It makes no sense to be joyful to the world, because when things happen to me, when I am hurt, when people are kicking you while you're down, when a family member or a loved one passes away or falls sick, or when you have some trials and tribulations and you're joyful, it makes no sense to the world how joyful you are. You remember 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in verse 18, talking about the foolishness of the cross to people in the world? It kind of seems foolish to the world just how joyful we are. And I think you can look at that maybe in both ways there. I can't tell you how joyful I am. And you know what? To the people outside of this building, it probably doesn't make any sense how joyful I am. But ladies and gentlemen, everyone in this building and everyone out in the world can take hold of that joy, can have that joy, but only in Christ. But only in Christ. You know those verses we looked at in Romans the 5th chapter, and Romans the 6th chapter, and Romans the 8th chapter? There's one key thing that we can read in all of those. In Romans the 5th chapter, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we also have obtained access to faith, into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in a hope of the glory of God. We can have access to the faith through or in Christ. You look at Romans the 6th chapter in verse 23. It's talking about the servanthood, choosing your master. Verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then also Romans the 8th chapter in verse 39. That verse we just talked about, the verse that I got really excited about, and I love reading this section of Scripture because it says, no height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's true. Nothing can separate me from God, but only if I'm in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those people in the high school class, they're probably tired of hearing about being in Christ Jesus our Lord, because we talk about it every single class. We talk about what it means to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our memory verse today was about that. Galatians 3:27, for many as were baptized to Christ have put on Christ. And if we want to be in Christ Jesus, we need to put on Christ in baptism. Then we need to be buried in baptism and to be put on and to put on Christ. And then I can have an inexpressible joy. Then I can have a joy that makes no sense to those who are around me. Because at that point, I will be able to have a Savior who is interceding for me. At that point, I will have a guarded inheritance that nothing in creation can take away. And at that point, I can have a faith that is tested by fire. A faith that even though it's beaten, even though there's the devil looking out and trying to take it, it stands strong and it's more precious than gold. And in that you can be joyful. In that we can be joyful. But the only way we can do that is in Christ. Let's go back to 1 Peter one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's someone in here this evening that has not put on Christ in baptism, today is the best day to do it. Because we have an opportunity today and in this moment to put on Christ and to have that joy. I will sit down in this moment if someone wants to be baptized right now, because I don't want to be up in the way of you for any time. I don't want to delay you for a single moment. But if you've put on Christ in baptism and you're not feeling that joy, maybe we're not walking in the way we're supposed to. Maybe we're not living in obedience. I'm not going to make any points off this, but I do want to read 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 13 through the end. Because it talks about our call to be holy as we walk throughout this life. And for us to have that joy and to have tested faith, we must be able to walk as a Christian should walk. Verse 13, it says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as the Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with a fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Verse 20 says, He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. And through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. I don't think there's a single person in this building who doesn't want joy. We spend our lives looking for that pursuit of happiness, looking for what I can do to make me happy in this moment. But like we talked about at the beginning, that is circumstantial. That my happiness is going to fail. It's not all, I'm like, I can't be happy all the time, but I can have joy all the time. But the only way I can do that is in Christ Jesus. And if there's anyone in this building this evening who has not put on Christ, and we just talked about Galatians 3:27 just a moment ago, some versions say have been clothed in Christ. If you've been baptized into Christ, you've been clothed into Christ. That's what we need to do this evening. Clothe yourself in Christ if you've not put on Christ in baptism. If you put on Christ in baptism and you just needed a reminder that you can have joy in Christ, hopefully this evening you have been encouraged and you can remember that God has a home for you in heaven. That though I am tested, my faith is tested, I have a resurrected Savior who intercedes for me. That I have Jesus sitting at the right hand of God as my interceding for me and giving me a hope. A hope in what? A hope in a guarded inheritance. You know, my dad used to always tell me I better work for my money because when he dies, I'm not going to get very much money. I've got a Father in heaven who has set up an inheritance for me that is not perishable, that is undefiled, that is so perfect that I can't even imagine or to put into words what it's going to be like. And I have joy that in this earth, I have that to look forward to. And then when I die, I have a hope to spend my eternity with God in heaven. And that's why I can take joy in the testing of my faith. That even though I go through trials, even though I go through temptations, I have something to look forward to. That the sufferings of this current time are nothing to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in me in heaven if I can fight through, if I can keep my eyes on heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no better time than right now to make sure your heart is right with God. I plead with you, do not leave this building tonight with any kind of question, with any kind of doubt as to where you'll spend your eternity. Make that decision known right now. Whether it be something you can take care of in your pew, or you need the prayers of the congregation, or you need to be baptized, I know the water's ready. We can do that right now as we stand and as we sing.